So we are in the third Sunday of Advent, and I know we have these candles and everything. And this passage that Terry read, Isaiah 61:1-11, I'm not going to preach on the whole thing. That's a long passage. But the whole passage captures the idea of the coming Messiah. And Mary, when she heard from the angel that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah, she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And that's what we do at Advent time. We rejoice. We praise God for this this wonderful coming of the Messiah. And so far in this sermon series, because we've had, this is the third sermon in this series, it's called Sent. Jesus is sent. And we've been seeing how Jesus is sent to be the deliverer, to reclaim the people from exile, his people from exile, and then also as Lord, that he was coming to claim his crown as the rightful king. But today we're going to look at Jesus as the coming messenger, sent to proclaim the arrival of God's kingdom. And this is really about Jesus being the Messiah. In verse 1 here it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Now preachers often pray, and Terry prayed for me today. He was praying for me to be anointed. And I prayed for the message to be anointed. What are we talking about? Well, anointing means to pour oil on. That's what it means, to pour oil on. And in the Old Testament, in the Bible times, they did this as a way of ordaining prophets and priests and kings. Well, what they were really talking about, it was a symbolic of another kind of anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Isaiah is talking about here, the coming of the Messiah, because he would be the messenger of the new covenant. He would be the messenger of the New Testament. This is what we're preaching, the story of the New Testament in Christ. Now, Isaiah told of a coming messenger. This coming messenger would speak with power and authority because of the Holy Spirit anointing. And this is why we call Jesus the Christ. That's what it means. It's the same word as of Messiah. Christ and Messiah are really the same word. And it means anointed one in the Hebrew. Now, Jesus was greater than any other prophet, priest, or king who had been anointed prior to him, because he was actually announcing the arrival of God's kingdom. He was the one not just teaching about the kingdom. He was going to do that. He was going to teach about the kingdom. And in the Old Testament, they taught about the kingdom too. He was going to do that. But he was going to bring about the kingdom too. He was going to bring it. He's the one who brought it. He was the singer and he was the song, if you want to look at it that way. Ultimately, the second advent of the Messiah, when Christ comes back again, that will completely fulfill God's kingdom. But in his first advent, Jesus was sent not just to proclaim the kingdom, but to show us what it was like. To show us what it was like. And that shows this. Ultimately, the Messiah is the messenger who comes to bind up the broken. In verse 1, the second part, it says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners." So what happens when God's kingdom breaks into our broken world? Our world that's been fractured by sin. Well, the wounded are healed. The mourning find comfort. The chains of the captives are broken. The light of freedom dawns on the prisoner. And Jesus was said to bring good news to the poor. Well, he came to mend the broken. It was not just an announcement. It was an actual healing. He came to heal. He came to put things back together that had fallen apart, that had been broken. God has heard our cry. We often sing that song, O come, Emmanuel. It's a longing. It's a longing for the coming. And God has heard our cry. He has heard the cry, good news to the poor. Now, that we can all get excited about that because in many ways, all of us are poor. Poor of spirit, we need His filling. And sometimes we're poor in our ideas of life and we need His ideas of what life is all about. So this was not just an announcement of good news. It was actual, Christ was actually bringing a mending of what was broken. And people can also be chained to bad habits. People can be imprisoned in addictions. And this fills our world as well. They can sometimes, because of these habits and addictions, they can feel hopeless and helpless. Well, Jesus is sent to bring the kingdom. And that kingdom is one of freedom. Freedom where the chains come off. Freedom when the prison doors open. Now, one of the greatest painful things that come into our lives, one of the most painful forms of brokenness, is grief. It's grief over human loss. And we say, there are different kinds of losses, yeah, and they all cause grief. And Jesus meets us in these needs as well. He meets us in the needs of our grieving, our mourning. And we've all mourned the loss of loved ones. We've all mourned loved ones who have gone. And whether it happens by death or divorce or dementia, sometimes it's happened with dementia. Jesus is the messenger who has been sent to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve. That's in verses 2 and 3 put together. He's come to comfort the mourning in no matter what loss we have, because some people get depressed at losing beloved treasures. They lose things that have been to them treasures, such as homes. You all had to move out of a home that you probably loved pretty much before you came to Eschaton. You had to leave it. And you had raised children in that home, some of you, and you say, wow, I have to leave this home. And that's a grief. That, you know, some people, they get depressed when they lose these things. And sometimes there's a fire. I knew a lady who, she lost everything in a fire. All of the pictures of her family and those kinds of things. And then she started building things back up. Another fire took her home again and took everything away. That's that's hard. That's a grief. And what did Jesus say? He said that He came, He was sent to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair, because those things can bring despair. Now some lose their accustomed lifestyles. You know, they move into an unfamiliar place, an unfamiliar situation. They lose mobility or other abilities. And this happens a lot at Eschaton. They feel uprooted. They feel cut off. And I know that's why we need to go and visit those that have had to move over to assisted living. They get lonely over there because they miss what was happening over here, you know. And so God meets us in those areas as well. Jesus was sent to announce they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. You know what? It says bloom where you're planted. And you know what? God sometimes moves us, and Sometimes he moves us away from familiar places to unfamiliar places. We've got to bloom where we're planted, because we will bloom, because that's what God says we will do. We are his, we are the planting of the Lord, oaks of righteousness for the display of what? His splendor. And more than individual lives are touched by this brokenness that God needs to mend. More than individual lives are touched by this brokenness. We hear of bad news daily. We hear of bad news of the devastation of political upheavals and political corruption sometimes. And we hear of devastation by poverty and disaster around the world, globally and nationally. And we look at crime happening, injustices that are being done around the world. We say, this is a broken world. This is a broken world that we live in. Is there hope for this social and global evil? Is it going to cease? Is there any hope that it will cease someday? The answer is yes. Jesus is sent to proclaim that this is a message of hope. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. That's a promise of the coming Messiah. Hope for worldwide brokenness, and that hope for worldwide brokenness begins in the world of our broken hearts. That's where it must begin. It must begin in each human heart. Jesus is sent to bring healing and liberation and restoration. And it starts here in the heart. The good news of Advent is that this hope has already been manifested. It's already come. Jesus has come. It's materialized. We don't have to wait for the Messiah, for his second coming to see this. We can see it now in our hearts. We can see what his kingdom looks like. What does Jesus' kingdom look like? We have to find it in our hearts. We have to see it in our lives. We can find it now in our personal lives by opening our hearts to Christ. That's what Advent is all about. It's a calling to open up ourselves to Jesus. This is the opening of our hearts to the Advent message. And finally, the messenger is also the message. He's the Messiah. He's the messenger that comes to heal. But he's also the message itself. One day Jesus was standing and he was reading this passage of Isaiah in a Jewish synagogue. And he said this, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I mean, these people had heard that passage read over and over and over again, and they were looking forward to its fulfillment. And it's when I say that passage, it was that whole passage, all those 11 verses that talk not just about what Jesus has been doing in these passages we've looked at, but everything else coming to change the whole structure, to bring a new covenant, to restore everything. That's what the Messiah... They were looking forward to that. And now Jesus says, he claimed to be the Messiah. This is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm here. I've arrived. The anointed one that you've been waiting for. Advent was standing there looking them in the face. Advent was personified, incarnate, no longer as a written word that was promised, but the Word made flesh was standing there staring them in the face. There was no more need of prophets to preach about a coming kingdom, because the Messiah had arrived and he was the message. He was not just the messenger, he was the message. He was the singer and the song. And immediately following Advent season, immediately following Advent season, we have Christmas tide and we have Epiphany. And the Epiphany season stands for manifestation. Manifestation of Christ to the world. Everything between Epiphany and the Lenten season, or Good Friday, is about how Jesus lived out this message on earth. He lived it out in His own life. He lived it out. He translated Isaiah's future prophecy, He translated into present reality. And that's what He continues to do in our day. Today, He continues to translate what we read in Isaiah. He translates that into our lives, into our present world through our lives. Jesus didn't just bring God's message down to earth. He lived it out on earth. He lived it out. And by proclaiming God's kingdom has come to us, He's inviting us to join Him. He's inviting us to come to Him. Jesus is sent to proclaim the kingdom of God. He's sent today to proclaim the kingdom of God. He's sent to us today so that we can remember what Advent's about. It's about the coming kingdom. It's about Christ. It's no longer a distant hope. It's a present reality. It's something that has already happened. It's been fulfilled in the arrival of Christ. So we ask questions. Are there broken places in our lives that need mended? Are there ruined things in our lives that need restoration? Well, Jesus is the messenger, and He's the message as well. He is the healing. Advent calls us to place our hope and trust in this Messiah, in Christ, and trust Him for the healing that we need. But also, as we wait for His return, now, we are waiting for His return because Jesus has called us to follow Him as we wait His return. We're not just to stand here and twiddle our thumbs and say, well, I'm waiting. No, He wants us to do what He did. He wants us to be a messenger. He wants us, our lives, to be a message. He wants us to translate Advent season into our daily lives as we live it out for others. So the people said, you know, every time I see Him, I think of Advent. I'm thinking of Him all the time because He reminds me of Advent, the Advent hope that we are to live out. And we're to live His message out, not just in word. And I think we should be living it out in word, but we need to live it out in deed, in word and deed. So let's keep asking ourselves during this Advent season and for the rest of our lives as we await His return, let's ask, what can I do to make the message of Christ real to others? What can I do to make it tangible in a creative way? What can I do? And how can I communicate the kingdom living, the idea of a kingdom culture, the idea of what does the kingdom look like? How can I live that out and communicate it and make it visible to other people? In a visible way, live it out before other people. And how can I help bind up broken hearts and comfort the mourning, no matter what loss they've gone through, to comfort and bring comfort to those who are in grief? And how can I help liberate those that are bound in whatever way they're bound up, whatever shackles they have, whatever chains they're chained to? How can I help get them free? And that's what we at Advent need to do in our prayers, is to turn those questions into prayers, asking the Lord to show us. And let's do that now. Father God, thank You so much for this wonderful, wonderful promise in Isaiah of the coming Messiah. But more than that, Lord God, more than just the prophecy, it was fulfilled in that day that You stood up and read it to them, Lord. it was fulfilled today in their hearing. And Lord, it needs to be fulfilled in our lives. It needs to be fulfilled by us becoming messengers for you. For us becoming the message by living it out. By living out and translating it into a present reality, this Advent hope. Lord, bless us as we go through the Advent season. It's a very busy time, but help us, Lord, remind us to be that messenger and to be that message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.